Welcome to the North and South of Things podcast, a show dedicated to discussion of topics important to the LGBT community and the community at large. Here are your hosts, Mark and George. Welcome to the North and South of Things, kids. I'm George in Atlanta, Georgia.
And I'm Mark in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Happy New Year, Mark. How are you?
A happy new year to you too, George. I'm fantastic. I am really stoked about 2019.
I could not be happier to say goodbye to a year. It feels like the photo of 2018 must be a dumpster fire.
It's been a dumpster fire, and it's like how people come up with picture calendars. Right. I think 2018 was the year of 12 months of dumpster fires and different depictions of said same.
Well, how did you ring in the new year?
Well, actually, it's the same as I do every year, is because I really think that New Year's Eve is kind of like amateur night. So I know a lot of people go out and party on and just tie one on. And so what I do is I have a friend of mine who lives about maybe 10 minutes from my house. And she and I get together around 6:30 or so. And we watch the movie Fargo. And we drink a couple of glasses of Prosecco. And we eat some Christmas cookies. And that's pretty much our quiet evening. So I leave my house basically while everybody is still sober. And then at about 10:30, when everyone is settling in to ring in the new year, I drive home safely and am in bed usually by 11.
That is so smart. I love that. So Is it true what they say that whatever you are doing when the new year comes in is what you're doing all year round?
Yeah, so sleeping.
I love it. That sounds like a great tradition, and I'm totally with you on the whole beginner's night. You know, I mean, it's just not worth being out there because people are stupid. People and alcohol, I should say, are.
Absolutely. So how did you ring in the new year this year?
Well, it is a mix of things. I do kind of enjoy watching a little bit of the festivities, you know, on the boob tube, as they say. Mm-hmm. I typically have watched the Anderson Cooper and Kathy Griffin and watched a little bit of his shenanigans with Andy Cohen. Not a big Andy Cohen fan. Don't dislike him, just not a big fan. And I did kind of like Kathy Griffin, so I kind of hope she'll get back on there someday. I don't know. But, I watch a little bit of that. But I really like to take time to sort of reflect on the year. I will, not just New Year's Eve, but also sort of the days leading up to it. I like to look at photos. Sometimes I'll even make a compilation video. Excuse me. And really kind of take stock in what happened in the last year and think about the year ahead. So, little glass of something, adult beverage, a little bit of CNN nonsense, Anderson Cooper, and a little bit of reflection, and then bedtime.
Yeah, it's one of the pleasures of reaching the age that we are is that, you know, if we want to go to bed, we can. And often do.
That's right.
So 2019, it's a fresh slate. Lots of possibilities that are happening. And I know a lot of people turn towards the idea of some resolutions. And, what do you think about that, George?
I'm actually a big believer in it. I'm somebody who makes 3 or 4 resolutions, and if I'm lucky, gets one of them partially accomplished. But I do think it's an important exercise, actually. I do think it's important to kind of take stock. It's sort of a natural period, ending of a period that you sort of can put your stamp on things and say, all right, in the year ahead, I'm going to focus a little bit more on this. I do take a little bit of issue with those who are cynics about the new year, new me shit. You know, I actually think it's important. There's not a single major issue in my life that I've been able to overcome that didn't start with like hope, you know, with just a grain of thought and attention. And I sometimes think just because we didn't succeed at something that we think it's a failure. And I don't think that's true. I think the more you give something at least attention, you give it place in your life and you give it importance in your life. And that can grow if you will stick to it. So you may not succeed in 100% of what you put down in your diary or thought in your mind, but I do think it's important to go through the exercise. What's your thoughts in general?
Well, you know, a lot of people start out, they make a resolution. So what is a resolution? They decide on what they want to focus on. And if you don't have a plan to get there, I think that's where people fail. And usually by the end of January, they basically don't have a plan. Their goal isn't concrete and specific. It's not a SMART goal. You know, it has to be specific. It has to be meaningful. It's time sensitive. All of those things, if you follow that and have a plan to get there, you're more likely to succeed. So what I tend to do is I take a lot of time, and I've been actually spending the last couple of weeks really putting in some time and thinking about goals. I kind of shy away from resolutions because I think people don't really take the time to really be specific. And so I have a philosophy. I try and look at my life, and I've broken it down into, you know, basically different parts. So body, mind, and spirit. And that's kind of how I approach it, as different categories. So that's kind of my philosophy on it. Then I will take in those specific areas and then start to get more specific. What are some of the things that that you're working towards, and what do you think of this philosophy?
Well, first of all, I think it's great. I think it's smart. I think part of what we're conveying here was conveyed by Benjamin Franklin. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail.
Absolutely.
Kind of brilliant. And we've heard iterations of that, I'm sure, from a lot of different people. There's one I can't remember. It's like, if you fail to plan, if you have no plan, you'll get there, which basically means you'll get nowhere. I love the idea of breaking it up into those holistic areas that you mentioned, mind, body, and spirit. I think that's super smart because it does acknowledge that there are different aspects of your person, your well-being, your life that need attention, and they're not always the same kinds of attention. So I love that idea, and we'll be promptly stealing it.
you have my permission. Go ahead.
Excellent. I won't write a book about it. But that is one of my resolutions, Mark. So I started in 2018, started a masterclass. I don't know if you're familiar with masterclass.com.
No, I'm not, but I've heard there's a lot of education sites that are online right now that are really good resources.
Yeah, I think it's fairly well done. It's a video training, and the hook is that they have leading experts on the subject matter. So, for example, I'm taking a class on how to write a book taught by James Patterson, and it is a series of very short videos, 3 to 7 minutes long, and it's almost every other video is shot with him in a different setting. So it really keeps your attention, although it's the same person talking at you for, you know, over the long period, several hours. But it is, for me, I've always wanted to write a book, and, you know, they say write about what you know. And so I've come up with a topic, started taking his class, and it is super informative, in terms of like, where in the world do you start, you know? And with him, it's the outline. So I have been a little, relapsed a little bit in the last month or two as work has been a bit nuts. But one of my goals in 2019 is to finish that outline. The outline actually becomes the book. You just keep adding to the outline's content so that it ultimately becomes the chapter and verse, if you will. So that's one of mine. What about one of yours?
Well, as you know, since April 24th of 2017, I made the decision really to do something about my weight. And as of today, basically, I'm down about 76 pounds from starting that. So in 2019, it is my intention to lose about another 40 pounds and finally get to what I and my doctor are working on as kind of a goal weight. And so 2019, I will be continuing that weight loss journey, and I hope to get there by my birthday in 2019, which is December 27th. So that's my plan.
I think that's smart. And we're getting to the age where it's less about aesthetics, although that doesn't hurt. And it's a lot about health. I mean, the older we get, the more susceptible we are to ailments, not the least of which the diabetes, as they say here. I don't know why it gets an article in front of it, but here it's pronounced the diabetes.
Actually, my parents have been one of those negative role models. They made some various lifestyle choices, which significantly impacted the health and actually the length of their life. And I basically have promised myself that I wouldn't become that, that I am looking towards having a foundation of a healthy lifestyle in order for me to have sort of like the best years of my life ahead of me. So that is really important to me, and it's one of my top things that I'll be working on. And it kind of goes hand in hand with also fitness. And 2019, so we have the weight loss journey, which is one. And then the second is concentrating on two things, which is strength and flexibility. And I hope to accomplish that by taking some more yoga classes. I took my first yoga class back in November, and I really enjoyed it. And I'd like to spend some more time doing that because I'm getting some really good benefits out of that as well.
Yeah, I hear people talking a lot about yoga and see obviously quite a bit about it. I've never really considered it. What got you into it?
Well, one of the things that I had noticed, and actually when I made the decision to start losing some weight back in 2017, was, I kid you not, I was having trouble picking stuff up off the floor, and I just felt really stiff. I felt really old and fat, and you know, as we age, you know, that atrophy can really sneak up on us. And so I knew I needed to do something about my weight. And now that I have done such significant progress, it was like, yeah, I need to work on like core strength so I don't lose my pelvic floor, and that my core strength is enough that I can pick myself up off the floor if I have to. And The other thing that comes into play, why yoga, is actually because I'm kind of cheap, because I don't want to pay for a typical gym membership. One reason for that is because I don't have a gym that's close or convenient to my home. And there's a yoga studio two blocks from my house. And a friend of mine who I studied Tai Chi with picked up yoga after she left our school. And she invited me to her yoga class on a Sunday morning. She said, "I'll use my guest pass. It'll be free for you. Why don't you come and check it out?" And I was hooked. It was an hour class, and I was so proud of myself because I made it through the entire hour and I didn't have to lie down. I wasn't crying. And actually, after that, I felt really good, like I had a decent workout, but I wasn't crippled, you know, with pain the next day.
I just can't imagine being in stretchy pants, bending over in front of people. I'm sorry.
Well, the studio that's by my house has got a really good philosophy. They basically say that yoga is for everybody. And so they're very body positive here, and they are open to students of all ages, of, you know, both genders, or gender nonconforming. And it's really the instructor that I've been working with is really good about suggesting any sort of adapting the moves, the various postures to where you are now. And it's the idea of progress, not perfection. And it's not like core power yoga where it's, you know, like yoga boot camp. It's really gentle. And I think if you find something that you enjoy and that's beneficial, you're more likely to stick with it. And so that's why I kind of chose yoga, and I'm really enjoying it.
Well, it sounds like a sharding incident waiting to happen for me, so I'm going to pass. I don't need to be on the episode of Big Fatty where I have a sharding incident.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would be rather embarrassing.
I do, however, also have, as one might imagine, a resolution to focus on weight loss. And like I said minutes ago, it's as much about health. I've got the diabetes in my family, and I need to be a bit more attentive to that the older I get. You know, it's kind of weird, like the older you get, the level of discomfort about things grows exponentially, and it just seems like around 40, you know, you begin to start to notice a few things, and then like 45, you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then 50, it's just like somebody dumps a bucket of bad health on you. Really can't afford to be sedentary or things of that nature. So I've got to, and it's probably going to involve just a lot more walking. I do have a gym in my building. Also have treadmills in my building. It's not a huge gym, and there's almost 400 units in my building. So there's typically a lot of competition for it, which I use as an excuse. But we're not going to do that in 2019. So weight loss is important for me, but I think it's as important. And you mentioned it in your triumvirate of categories. I think it's important for the mind. I mean, it's important to kind of give you time to get those endorphins going, give you time to breathe, if you will. So it's a top priority for me in 2019.
Yeah, and as far as the mind part of it, it does come into play since, you know, we're an interconnected species. Even as individuals, you know, we have this body and mind connection that is really connected. And one of the things that I am noticing is that it's all about a mental mindset. So as far as mind is concerned, I know meditation is always been a cornerstone with me. And I have recently rededicated myself to my daily meditation practice. As a matter of fact, today was 67 consecutive days of meditation sessions. And I find that having a calm mind and, you know, calming those voices that we have in our minds allows us to focus a lot better. And also, it helps us not to become so reactive in our day and the things that happen within those days.
How do you do the meditation? Is this something, is it an audio tape? Is it something guided on video? Or is it something, a practice you've read about? Or do you go somewhere to, what do they call them, those places?
Meditation center. Well, in Minneapolis, there is a center that I do attend somewhat off and on. They have monthly retreat days, which is really nice because usually it's the first Saturday of the month is a half day meditation retreat where you go there and for 4 hours you have a structured time of sitting and walking meditation. So, you know, retreating from the world, giving you a space in order to become calmer is really good. But as far as daily is concerned, there is an app, you know, there's an app for that. And the one app that I use consistently, and which is really phenomenal, and it's fantastic, it's called Insight Timer. And you can find that on your phone store. They have both available for Android and Apple Snack. So I use that. And the really wonderful thing about this particular application is if you're not really familiar with meditation, they do have courses that are available to help you get started. There are guided meditations, there's meditative music, and it also has a social media sort of feel to it in that you can get connected with other people who are meditating in your area, in your city. There's also various groups that you can join. One of those that I belong to is Gay Men Meditating. So you can have various discussions with other people who are meditating. And it's really the largest app membership-wise. There are some others that are out there, but I find this one is really robust. And sometimes the courses have a very nominal fee to them. You know, it's like $10 or whatever. And it's all paid through the Apple Store. So it's very convenient and gives you access to a lot of material. So if you're interested in learning more about that, I encourage you to look for that app. It's called Insight Timer.
Insight Timer. The word I was looking for was ashram.
Oh, yeah. That's more of a Indian-based sort of thing. And you can have yogic ashrams or meditation ashrams. It's like a center, but you know, when the 60s, when there were some development of various ashrams in the United States, you know, you kind of got some of the kooky folks from the hippie era. So it has a little connotation.
Your meditation doesn't have any connectivity to Buddhism or religion?
Well, the meditation center in Minneapolis is Buddhist based, but it's not, it's sort of, it embraces it all. I mean, it does work on Vipassana meditation, which is insight meditation. And it's very, you can be non-sectarian. They do a really good job of being inclusive. And that doesn't only mean philosophy, it means the community itself. And they work really hard to be a welcoming and accepting community, especially to people of color, GLBT and trans members. They have a policy on all of this and how people are treated in the community. And it just kind of embraces that whole idea. And it's, I would say, it's not a religious-based center. It's more of a spiritual or philosophical and non-sectarian place to be. And their guiding teacher has been meditating for, gosh, I think it's been like 35 years. And he's just a very kind individual.
Love it. Love it. What's the app again? Insight?
Insight Timer.
So for me, I think one of the other, and none of these resolutions of mine are earth shattering. They're all pretty standard stuff. And continuing to, I got kind of lazy with some of my financial management over the last few years and sort of tried to work myself back into sort of more strict budgeting. And, you know, as we get older, I feel less and less confident that we're going to have, I think, as we mentioned on a previous episode, that we're going to have less and less access to some of these programs we've paid into, Social Security and Medicare in particular. And so I'm trying to look at both being a bit more strict with the financial management, while also enjoying life to some degree that, you know, that your age and mobility allows you to enjoy, that you may not be as mobile and agile as you get older to enjoy that, those kinds of things like travel. But also, working at trying to grow the income potential. In the same period that I started working on an outline for a book, which is work related. It's basically how to survive a one person communication shop when you're both the marketing, communications, and public relations all in one. So having to how you manage all of those disciplines to get that department of one taken care of. Along the same lines, I started working on graphic design. I've never considered myself a graphic designer. I'm certainly not an illustrator. But I'm somebody who has to sort of piece these things together. I know what my mind's eye wants to see, and I know I have to go assemble these pieces. Sometimes it's original, my own original work, but most of the times it's pulling pieces together, creating my own template, creating a recipe, if you will. But I took a course on lynda.com, that's lynda.com, on how to be a graphic designer. And I got about 80% of the training when I realized, I know all of this. So I'm not sure why I don't consider myself a graphic designer. But the part that I am missing, and the training did a really good job at giving you how to get started, is that original illustration bit, from taking an idea and a concept to scribbling out designs and then just brainstorming ideas, whether it's a logo or logo is a good example. I've been asked to create logos a number of times, and it's not a strength of mine. I can hammer out a report or a event materials or a flyer in a matter of seconds, but a logo is such a specific skill set. It takes such refinement to be able to have the smallest piece of artwork that communicates a good bit of information about who you are as an entity or a company. And so this course did a really good job at sort of giving you a path on how to get from point A to point Z on that. So I'm going to continue that a little bit, with the ultimate goal of probably doing some consulting on the side in addition to my work. So it's all part of the master plan.
And that's the point. You have to have a plan in order to get from point A to point Z.
It is. As Benjamin Franklin said, without a plan, with no plan, you're planning to fail. For me, that's the big stuff. There's sort of little sub plan or sort of sub goals underneath all of that. But I mean, again, I go back to the notion that, I mean, they're like you, I've had some pretty dark moments in life, and it's easy to be defeated by those moments. It's real easy to just give up. Because you get this sense of hopelessness, you get this sense of, I can't make a difference in this, I don't have this, I don't have that. But the moment you will give yourself some belief that you can actually make a dent in that problem, make a dent in that issue, the moment you give yourself a little bit of credit, a little bit of belief in your ability to start, it really does build upon that. And I've had a number of instances in my life where I have sort of had to face reality on something and really just sort of dig in. And you got to start somewhere, put pen to paper, put the budget together, put the idea on paper. You know, there is a crap ton of free training out on the internet. YouTube is replete of free training, you know. Don't let defeatism stand in your way. And I say this as a constant reminder to myself too, because it's not something, you know, I don't exactly exude confidence. And if I do, it's smoke and mirrors, because I have to constantly work on that, you know. So I just, for those folks who, you know, are cynical or just have sort of given up or feel like there's not a way out of whatever that situation is, I just say don't give up, you know.
Right. And start small. And one of the things that you know, I've learned through my years around the sun is that you need to be kind to yourself, because especially when you're trying to change something, you are going to make mistakes. And, you know, beating yourself up for making a mistake is a defeatist sort of thing. And you don't want to do that. And if you have to adjust your goal, do that. It's okay, especially if it's a huge one. You know, it's like, I've been working on my weight for over 2 years. It's coming up on 2 years in 2019. And I couldn't have made the progress towards that goal without being kind to myself, especially when I made mistakes, to learn from those mistakes and to just dust yourself off and keep going.
Great advice. Well, let's leave it there. That's a good bit of talk about New Year's resolutions. Hopefully we all share that goal of getting better in one capacity or another, and hopefully some of this has been helpful. It's helpful for me just to talk about it, frankly, to be honest with you. It kind of helps reinforce it.
Well, yeah, and it also helps, you know, when you put your goals out there into the world, it, you know, it helps with accountability as well.
Yep. It's almost like you're speaking them into existence. So, Mark, any final words?
You know, you can't reach for the stars and get them until you just make an action. So give it a shot.
Make it happen. Wonderful. Kids, thanks for listening. We will chat with you on the next episode. We appreciate you tuning back in. We are online at www.northandsouthofthings.com. If you look us up on iTunes, if you're listening to this, you probably already found it. But anyway, if you're looking us up on iTunes, it might be the ampersand, North ampersand, South of Things. But anyway, Mark, have a great rest of your day, and we will chat soon.
You too, George. Take care, and until next time, be good to yourself.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the North and South of Things. More information available at northandsouthofthings.com. Follow Mark on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LaughingBuddha. And George at George in Atlanta. Our podcast theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.